You're listening to a Church Doctor production.
Welcome to Kent Hunter's Prescriptions from a Church Doctor, presented by Church Doctor Ministries.
Welcome to this podcast about how you make decisions at church. Hi, I'm Kent Hunter, Church Doctor, and today's podcast is all about church politics. Some people call it church governance. It's all about how you make decisions. At Church Doctor Ministries, we've worked with hundreds of churches from 78 different denominations and non-denominational networks in North America alone. You see, every church has some kind of decision-making group. Some call them board of directors, others call it a church council, or a consistory, or a board of directors that are deacons, and there are many other names. But they all have something in common, and it runs on the fringe of politics. The function is to make decisions for the direction of your church. Not just any decision, but God's will, what God wants, scriptural decisions in a scriptural, biblical way. So these boards have emphasis on the direction of your congregation, probably to a greater degree than you might ever think. Many of these decision-making groups operate by what you might call Robert's Rules of Order, and you've probably heard about that. Years ago, I read somewhere that Robert himself felt like his Rules of Order were appropriate for any organization except the church. You know what? I agree, and I'm out to prove it. For 20 years, I studied churches to understand how they make decisions. I also studied the New Testament to understand the approach of the early church, the apostles, and how they made decisions. I read and reread the New Testament, asking the question, how did they come to the conclusions? How did they respond to the challenges? How did they come together and make decisions for the good of the early church? Now, having worked with hundreds of churches, I got to tell you, most of them take votes to make decisions. Some of those votes are relegated to a smaller group of leaders. Others, and in some cases, ask the whole congregation to vote, or at least who shows up for a meeting. And they do so at least on really important decisions. You know, many congregations have some kind of mechanism to elect leaders. For most churches that do that, they require two names, not just one, but two names of church members willing to run for election to the board, whatever it's called. And so, among these two people that are willing to run, one wins and the other loses in front of all their friends and before God. And basically, their willingness to serve God is down the toilet in their personal reflection. And this raises a spiritual question. Why should anyone in the church who is willing to be a leader, why should that person lose in front of all their friends at church? How does that compare to the spirit of the New Testament? How does that line up with the ethos and approach of Jesus himself? Jesus had some disciples who became apostles. No one voted for them. Jesus invited them. He taught them. He empowered them. Basically, he discipled them. And the rest is history. Of course, Jesus had many followers, but he spent much of his time equipping 12. They were discipled. They launched the movement after Jesus' resurrection. And as you know, one of the 12 disciples, well, didn't make it. His name was Judas. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, it says that the disciples, like most churches today, decided they needed to replace Judas with another 12th man. It seemed like a good idea at the time. So they decided to pick two guys and have a vote of sorts. Basically, they got political. They decided to nominate Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and a second guy by the name of Matthias. Then the disciples prayed, which is at least one good part of their approach. And their prayer was this: Lord, you know the thoughts of everyone. So show us which of these two you have chosen to serve as an apostle in the place of Judas, who left to go to the place where he belongs. That was okay. It's good so far. But then they drew straws, or cast lots, as some translations call it. And these votes were between two men, and the one chosen was Matthias, as you may know. And he was added to the group of 11 apostles, and then there were 12 again. And Matthias? Well, you never hear from Matthias again. Never. Later, we learn that a guy named Saul was a persecutor or enemy of this new movement called Christians. In Acts chapter 8, he is first mentioned. But in chapter 9, on his way to Damascus, this guy Saul meets Jesus, and he gets blind for 3 days. That got his attention, I'm sure. Saul got his sight back and started preaching about Jesus. By the time of the book of Acts, chapter 13, Saul becomes known as Paul, perhaps because of his previous reputation. They renamed the guy, as Saul the persecutor probably scared people. But Paul, this guy that was totally 100% changed, became an apostle and a pretty active member of the New Testament. My point is this: Paul was not elected by the disciples or anyone else. There were no votes. He was chosen by Jesus. He had no term limits. He was called to ministry. He was an apostle. In Acts chapter 15, verses 23 through 28, the scripture addresses some growing pains of the Christian movement as it touched the lives of an increasingly larger number of Gentiles. And it had to do with the Gentile culture. It had to do with spiritual behavior. It was all about eating meat that had been offered to idols and the issue of sexual immorality. So how did the apostles come to deal with these decisions? There was no vote, no parliamentary decision making, no constitutional bylaws. In fact, they had no constitution. So what did they do? The leaders prayed, and they said, and I quote, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us," end quote. So how would the congregation where you belong make decisions if Jesus was your pastor? How is it that throughout history, Christians have mixed politics with ministry? In my book, by the title of Church Politics, Pain-Free Decision-Making, I make the case for churches to move away from laws and bylaws. Forget Robert's Rules of Order. In fact, there's some evidence that Robert himself didn't even think that his rules applied to church. And he was a practicing Anglican. Here's my prescription. Operate your church as an apostolic theocracy. Now, those are unusual words, so let's unpack them. The word theocracy means we want what God wants. And I'm pretty sure that's what you believe. And I'm pretty sure that's what your church wants to do. And I'm pretty sure the churches that do that are more effective than churches that don't. We pray that very thing in the Lord's Prayer when we say, "Your will be done," or in some cases, "Thy will be done." We want what God wants. So that's the word theocracy. The word apostolic reflects the profile of the apostles. And as you read the New Testament, you can clearly understand that these people, the apostles, were very different. Their lives were changed, and their approach to every part of life was different. They didn't do politics. They majored in relational, biblical guidance. They prayed. So, you pray. Pray about this. Pray about your church. Pray about the way you make decisions. How can you contribute to the biblical approach to ministry in your church, in your denomination, in your personal life? When you capture that approach, it removes the politics and multiplies ministry. And to be honest, that's why I wrote the book about church politics. That's how we at Church Doctor Ministries help congregational leaders, because they need to become, you need to become, we all need to become liberated to more effectively serve our churches and be powerful in our ability to reach more people for Jesus Christ. I'm Ken Hunter, praying that you make your church more effective for Jesus in every area, including how you make decisions for the King of the universe and the movement of Christianity. God bless you.
You have been listening to Kent Hunter's Prescriptions from a Church Doctor, presented by Church Doctor Ministries. If you've liked this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to hear future episodes. Check out Kent Hunter's new books, A Nation Reclaims Respect, The Amazing Power of God Stories, and Church Politics, all available at churchdoctor.org and amazon.com.